for the dentist and say, hi. You know, I'm the one that's going, bye. So I got caller ID on my phone for when they call me and say, it's time for your appointment, you know, send them to voicemail. But how's everyone doing this morning? Doing good? You're looking good. So, yeah, just making sure. Okay, everyone's looking good. How many of you know that just because you look good doesn't always mean you feel good? just because it's all looking good on the outside doesn't mean that sometimes we don't have things on the inside. And that's why we've been talking about our series with the soul man. So we're going to continue on. We've talked last week. We'll kind of recap a little bit. I'll go back and review. Just in case you weren't here the last couple weeks when we were talking about a soul man. And we're going to be on this for a number of weeks. I'm in no rush, so I hope you're not. I don't find any benefits to rushing through the Word of God so we can just say we jump through the hoops. We need to take time so we can hear the Holy Spirit speak to you right where you're at. So how many of you know you need to learn what you need to learn so you can go on to the next season in life? If you don't pass the test now, guess what? You get to retake that same test. One of my greatest fears in school was failing and being held back so I couldn't graduate with my friends, you know. And my soul would say, do everything you can to make it happen so you can get what you want. That's your soul. But what we have to do is learn the lessons so that we can be promoted. Promotion comes from God, the Bible says, right? It's nothing we can do on our own. So we're going to talk about this, continue talking about this. Now, let me start here. A couple things. First of all, if you're a guest and you're here for the first time, first and foremost, I hope you feel so welcomed here. I hope that when you walked in the door, you got at least 15 hellos. You may have even gotten a couple hugs, which may have weirded you out. You're like, oh, they hug in this church. You know, we're okay. We can do handshakes too. We don't mind. We are just happy that you're here. And I hope you feel welcomed. As a matter of fact, there's a connection card in front of you. You don't have to fill it out, but if you will fill it out for us, you can turn it in at the Awake Station. You can give it to the information people. You can give it to the staff. Heck, you can pass it to your neighbor and ask them to help you out, okay? And it just lets us get to know you. And we can get information to you, let you know about events that are coming up, some new things that are taking place. So if you'd fill that out for us, we would love to get a chance. It gives us a chance to, if you have any prayer requests, you can put those on the back. We'll put them with the prayer team. We'll be praying for you. Maybe you want to get involved in a small group, OSL. Maybe you're wanting to start a relationship with God, and you got some questions that you don't want to ask here on Sunday morning, and we'll give you a call. Just let us know. So please feel free to fill that out. And let me say something, too, about our, there's a lot of information in the bulletin there, okay? You can catch up. You guys can read that, see what's going on. There's an outline that you can follow along with this morning. You know, I didn't say this first service, but there's a prayer in here. I want you to hold on to that, okay? We'll probably put it in next week's bulletin, but we did not get to it today. But we will. And so I want you to hold on to this because this is a prayer I'm going to have you kind of stick in your Bible. This is kind of a binding, loosing prayer with training wheels right now. Because a lot of times as we're going to learn about some of these principles, we're like, how do we do this? And you'll know what I mean as we get into the message. But in the announcements, there's also something there about the Bulls game. If you have signed up for the Bulls game, the second round, that second sheet, there's 15 people. We got you your tickets. There's some people that have come to me and said, I still want to go. Is there room? We're going to do everything we can to figure out. We had an overwhelming response, which is very cool. So I think it's great. April 1st, we are going to the Chicago Bulls game, which is a Saturday. It's $55, which takes care of transportation and your ticket. If you want to go, let me know. And we basically filled the bus up right away. So then we were trying to find another bus. And worst case scenario, you guys sign up. This is about family. We'll call Wiersema. We'll get a bus. Don't worry. We're going to get there. So you don't have to feel like, oh, geez, I can't go. I missed out. No, we're going to give you that opportunity. So if you want to go, sign up. And we'll figure out the rest. So, also, men, iron sharpens iron is, I got to look so I give you the right date. March 18th, Saturday, Cedar Rapids, also $55. Now, if you weren't here last week, people ask, why aren't we doing ISI on April 1st? It's because we bought the Bulls tickets for April 1st a while ago, and then they released the dates for Iron Sharpens Iron, and it happened to be the Quad Cities was April 1st. Since we already bought the tickets, we decided we're going to keep the April 1st Bulls game, and we will go to the Cedar Rapids one. If you're here, men, and you want to go to Quad Cities, feel free. If you're not going to the Bulls game and you want to go to ISI and Quad Cities, feel free. We want, just get involved, you know, do everything you can to pour into your hearts. But that's just the direction that we're going to go trying to get together as a group. So if you have any other questions, please feel free to come and ask me later. All right. Are you guys ready? Yeah? Do you mind? I just want to pray. Just ask the Lord to just kind of basically just keep the distractions away so we can hear what he has to say. Father, we just ask you humbly that you would just come. We're so good at looking for things to distract us. We're so good at allowing these lights and those words and that person's conversation and these noises to just distract what it is that you want to say. So we ask now, Lord, that you would just remove all those distractions in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you prepare our hearts like you do soil, that your word says is ready to receive good seed. So Lord God, we know that you have good seed to plant today. Prepare the soil. You and me, us, prepare us, Lord. We ask in your name, amen. I want to talk to you today about an unsurrendered soul. If you've not been here the last few weeks, we started a series called Soul Man. Not Soul Man like, you know, I'm a soul man. No, it's not about music, dancing, singing, movies. I'm talking about the last few weeks. Let me just do the review. We said that I am a spiritual being, I have a soul, and I live in a body, right? Okay, if you don't get that, next week I'm going to expound on that, just making it absolutely clear a little bit more with what surrendered and unsurrendered means. We have a spirit inside of us, there is a soul that we have, and we live inside of a body, and in the moment we ask Jesus into our heart, into our spirit, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, be my Savior, bam, right there in the spirit, you're saved. But your soul is not immediately saved. The Bible says that Christ comes to save our soul, but that's part of a process. You see, we're saved immediately in our spirit, but if you're 45 years old and you ask Jesus into your heart and you're now 5 minutes old in Christ in your spirit, your soul's 45 years old and has been calling the shots for a long time. And we clarified the last 2 weeks, the soul wants what the soul wants. The soul wants what the soul wants, and the soul will do everything it can to get what it wants, when it wants, how it wants, no matter what the Spirit of God says to you. It's going to wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in higher places. We must discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness we talked about. And we learned that disciplining happens on the soulish level because the Spirit of God comes in and says, yes to Jesus, and our soul goes, yes to the world. Ding, ding, the battle's on. And we get to choose who's going to win. Now, this battle isn't just about should I smoke it or not? Should I drink it or not? Should I kiss them or not? I'm talking about, should we forgive? Are we going to continue to gossip? Are we going to continue to feed that family system and our part in it? You know, this goes much deeper than just, you know, the obvious kind of temptations of the world. And so that's why I'm saying we're going to dig a little bit deeper over the next few weeks. If you're here today and you're saying, well, I'm just a baby Christian, thank God. I'm glad you asked them into your heart. But it doesn't mean that God, I believe God can reveal whatever it is he wants to reveal to you if you're one day old in the Lord. And I believe he can reveal the same thing if you're 100 years old in the Lord. The question is are you letting him reveal anything to you? That's what it boils down to. So, I'm a spiritual being. I have a soul. I live in a body. Our soul contains our mind, will, and emotions. It's the way that we think. It's the way that we process. It's the way that we love. It's the way that we want to be loved. These all filter in the area of the soul. And that's David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That he meant my mind, my will, my emotions, everything about me. So when I feel like decking somebody, I choose rather to bless the Lord, O my soul. I don't live by my feelings. I live out of obedience to a living God. So, if you remember, I said last week that God's plan in these next few weeks, which these next few weeks are probably going to be about another 8 weeks, okay? I kind of laid out at the beginning of the year, Isaiah 43, just where I feel the Lord's leading. And we're going to spend time talking about our soul. Then we're going to spend time sometime later talking about Sabbath. That'll be in the middle of the year somewhere. Then we're going to take time talking about emotional health. I believe this is where the Lord's just taken us, this direction. And at the end of emotional health, we're going to have something set up that we don't just go, oh, amen, that was a good message. Now let's go to Pizza Ranch. Nothing wrong with Pizza Ranch, okay? Go to Pizza Ranch. But we're also going to develop something that we can actually get proactive in about becoming more healthy, healthy, that we can become more healthy in our souls, in our spirits, and in our walk with Christ. So God's goal through this year is to stretch you. But remember, I said a lot of us don't like to be stretched, right? We don't like to be stretched. Why? Because I might snap. Have you ever looked at somebody and you went, ooh, they just snapped? What does that mean? That means they were so frustrated that they finally said, forget this, and they snapped. And I said, God, that's not what God wants to do. Remember I referred to Stretch Armstrong? Remember that? How many of you ever had a Stretch Armstrong doll? Yes, I had a doll, but he was a manly doll, okay? He was a dude. All right, so it's all right. I didn't have Barbies or nothing, at least that I know of. I said, I would pull that Stretch Armstrong, and I'd pull it and see how far you could go, because the goal was see if we can break him, see if we can make him snap, because we want to see the goo come out of Stretch Armstrong. And so I told you, I said, God wants to stretch you. And I just felt like in many people's hearts or spirits, they were like, I don't want that. But you see, that's not what God wants to do. He wants to stretch you a little bit and then fill you. Stretch you and then fill you. Stretch you and then fill you. And you become bigger and stronger. As a matter of fact, how many of you enjoyed your Valentine's Day? Did you have a good time, you know, Valentine's Day? I'm not going to ask if you didn't enjoy it, because we don't want to raise our hands to that. But took my wife out for dinner for Valentine's Day, and she bought me a little gift. You want to see what it was? It is the world's smallest Stretch Armstrong. Check him out. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, so he's pretty flexible. You know, you can twist him in any shape, rip him around like so, and watch this. Given time, he'll go back to the way that he was supposed to be. And if he doesn't, somebody like a good savior will come and go and straighten up. And eventually he goes back to where he came from. This is what I was talking about. God may stretch you at times, but it's not to break you, it's to fill you. And when God stretches you, it's okay, it's all good, because what's going to happen is he's going to go, learn your lesson. And then he's going to go, now, let's see what you learned. And you'll go back, whew. And the question is, did you pass the test? Because if you did, you move on to the next season. If you didn't, here we go again. So I want you to get ready, because a few times through this message and a few times through this series, this is what's going to happen to you. The Holy Spirit's going to speak, and he's going to go, you're going to go, no, stop it, stop it, stop it. And you're going to, your soul's going to get a little bit uncomfortable. Is it getting hot in here? You'll ask your neighbor. Nope, they're doing perfectly fine. What's going on around here? Maybe the Holy Spirit's just stretching you a little bit. And as he stretches you, it's because he wants to fill you. Fill you with knowledge, wisdom. He wants to impart into you that you have what it takes to do what it is God's calling you to do. You can do it. So, I put a few scriptures at the top. I'm kind of all over the place with these scriptures, but it's because I'm laying a foundation. At least this is what I'm hoping I'm doing. I want to lay a foundation about our souls, because I want to talk to you about unsurrendered souls versus surrendered souls. But in order to talk to you about unsurrendered souls and surrendered souls, I was in a conundrum, because to do that, I got to talk about binding and loosing. Remember binding and loosing in the Bible? It's kind of like one of those verses you read and you go, it's bound in heaven is bound on earth, and that which is loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. What the heck does that mean? And I'm like, okay, we got to talk about that. But if I'm going to talk about that, we need to talk about unsurrendered souls and surrendered souls. And I'm like, okay, chicken or egg, which is coming first here? I don't know. And so I thought, let's just start with laying the foundation of how important our souls are, the value of them, and we're going to dig right into it. And we're going to see where we get with this. I'm in no rush to run through this, because you know, I got a few pages of notes, and you know, God's not pleased until I get to page 7. No, that's not the way it works. God is pleased when you and I just say, Jesus, have your way. Holy Spirit, will you just come now, and will you just show us what we need to know? Because I don't know about you, I need baby steps. That's just me. I don't know about you, but I need baby steps, because if the Holy Spirit's going to reveal something to me that maybe my wife, my dad, my friends might see about me, but I don't see it about me, the Holy Spirit can reveal that to me, but I got to give him permission and I got to give him clearance. I got to give him that time, and the Holy Spirit will reveal that, but you got to trust him with that. So maybe it's just baby steps as we go. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. We're going to look at all three of those verses on the top of your outline, okay? I'm going to read those today. so we can kind of lay the groundwork. Because here's what I'm feeling. There's many people here today that are grieving, hurting, lost, frustrated, irritated, disappointed, sad, and you don't know what to do with all the emotions and the feelings that come with that. So therefore, you try to go to God with your baggage because, you know, he says, you know, bring it to me and lay it at my feet and I'll take care of it. I'll bring your burdens and your worries and here, take my yoke and all. And we get that and we know to do that. And I'm not saying that that doesn't work, but sometimes when it doesn't work, what do? When you, now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it didn't work. The word of God is true. But when you take something to God and it seems like God did not answer your prayer, what does that mean? Where am I left? What am I left with? And how is this? How do I process all this? So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, let me start there. I believe that, let me just start. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. He's talking to them about persecutions. Now, have you ever noticed that when persecutions come, people want to split? When hard times come, difficult conversations need to be had, people find a way to get busy. Or people find a way, all of a sudden they become sick. Have you ever noticed that? You had to have a conversation with your son, your daughter, an employee, an employer, and you knew it was coming. You don't know what it was, but you knew somewhere in here, and that somewhere in here, by the way, is your soul. Your soul's going, uh-oh, something's coming down the pike, don't know what it is. And all of a sudden, they get sick or something. And I'm not saying that they weren't sick, I'm just saying sometimes we bring things upon ourselves because our soul starts to get uncomfortable because it's not surrendered. Jesus starts to talk to his disciples about persecutions, and he says, guess what? Persecutions are coming. People are going to come, and they're going to lead me away. They're going to nail me to a cross, and then if you keep following me, they're going to come after you too. Oh, great. You know, nice conversation, Jesus. And here's what he says right to them. In verse 28, he says, do not fear. Now, you know what? It's up on the screen. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He says, hey, don't be afraid of those people that can kill you. Be afraid of the one who can kill you and your soul. Now, right now you're like, that doesn't sound very, you know, heavenly or godly or, you know, here's what it means. In the Bible, when he says, do not fear, what he's saying is this. The word fear, the Greek word fear, is phobiomaia. Phobiomaia. That's the Greek word for the word fear that he's using there. You sound familiar? Phobias, fears, worries. But if you break down the understanding of that word, it has multiple meanings depending on the context of how it's used in Scripture. And here's what he's saying. The word fear, phobiomaia, he says, that means dread, alarmed, reverence. So in other words, Jesus says to them this. He says, if you want to follow me, he says, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And then he says, let's look at Matthew 16, 26. Is it up there on the screen? Let's put that one up there. Let's read this one together. Ready? Go. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you and I give? Well, there's nothing that you or I could necessarily do. The first scripture, he says, don't be afraid of those things that can take your life. Be more focused and concerned. Fear, have a reverence, have an awe, respect, if you will, in making sure you understand that there's something much greater than just worrying about what they think or what they feel. But what does God say? God says your soul's very valuable. And then he goes in Matthew 16, where the one that we just read. He says, how many of you can exchange anything for your soul? This is a very important thing. In other words, God's saying, your soul is very valuable. Remember, you have a spirit, you're a spiritual being, you have a soul, you live in a body. When you expire, it's just a nice way to say die. Your spirit and soul is to go be with Jesus. Your body stays here to the ground. Your spirit is saved automatically, but there's a process of your soul. There's a battle that takes place, a spiritual battle, because our soul it so strongly influences our life. And Jesus is showing them, he says, your soul is very valuable. It's very valuable. Now, back up one page in your Bible. maybe one page. And it should be about Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And this is where he talks about binding and loosing. It says, I'm going to back up to verse 17 just to kind of set the context. Matthew 16, verse 17, Jesus answered and said to them, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven." Let me stop there a moment and just let you know. Remember, this is where Jesus asked him. He said, "Peter, who do men say that I am?" Remember that? "Who do men say that I am?" And what did Peter say? Well, Peter, without missing a beat, bam, goes right into it. And he says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Verse 19, he said, I acknowledge you got that straight from heaven. And he says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Did you know there's keys to the kingdom of heaven? Here they are. He said, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, what I find very interesting here, and I kind of was just hanging out in my own heart. I was in my office, and I'm like, gosh, this is really interesting, because I've heard many times before how Peter said, you know, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus went, "Very good, very good." And then like five verses later, what happened? Jesus said, "I'm going to be persecuted. People are going to lead me away, and they're going to want to crucify me." And Peter went, Jesus, come here a minute. I need to just counsel you for a minute. You shouldn't say stuff like that. That's not good for morale. That really just does not encourage us, and we want to feel happy, Jesus. How many times have you seen scenarios where people have manipulated people because it's not about what's right, it's about how I feel? Jesus, you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. And what did Jesus do? Jesus went, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He just called him Satan. Wait a minute. Five verses earlier, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for you know God has revealed this to you." Do, 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 do. "Get thee behind me, Satan." It, like in a moment, what happened? And all of a sudden, I started to see this is not about just Peter being Peter. It's a soul issue that's going on that the Lord is dealing with. He's addressing and recognizing, because he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Are we doing okay so far? Okay, because I don't want to blow by anything too fast. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus went, "You got it right there. Your spirit, Peter, revealed to you through your soul who I am," and your body said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You got it. You were living out of your spirit, the Spirit of God, and it was transforming your soul and who you were. But then all of a sudden, I told you, Peter, hard times are coming, and your soul said, "Hard times? What? Hold on. Wait a minute. Time out. Come here, Jesus." And Jesus had to address his soul and say, "Peter, I'm not talking to your body right now, and I'm not even talking to your spirit, because you got the Spirit of God still, but I'm addressing your soul. Get behind me." Follow that so far? Peter, man, he's in trouble. But how many times have you been Peter? How many times have I been Peter? How many times have I seen the good things God is doing and I'm like, "Yeah, celebrate good." You know, I'm all into it. And then he says, "But Jim, hard times are coming." Whoa, hard times. Well, I should probably step down for a while then, because I don't want to deal with that. What? He's addressing our soul issues. Our souls, well, I don't want to get into that yet. Jesus is addressing Peter's soul. And he says, "Listen, this is a soul issue. You've got to understand a few things." He says, "I'm going to give you some keys right here. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind in heaven is bound on earth. What you loose in heaven is loosed on earth." How many of you have heard that verse before? How many of you have read that verse and went, "I have no clue what in the heck they're talking about"? Because I did that. I still do that. I'm always learning. So don't stop learning and say, "Well, just ignore this verse because we don't get it." Be open to try to learning something, just a little something. So I had to throw down a few kind of definitions here. We're going to read these, or we're going to go over these, but we're going to revisit these later, okay? Because the keys that he gives us, we're going to revisit in about 3 weeks. We're going to end the series with learning how to use our keys that God gives us. But here's what it means when we find to bind. To bind means, and these are very descriptive adjectives. Here's what it means to bind. It means to undergird, to heal, to hold, to persuade, to keep steady, to cause fragmented pieces to come back into one whole. Isn't that good? One whole. How many of you guys have experienced brokenness and you'd like to see some wholeness in your life? It means to put yourself under obligation to and to cling to. To cling to. You see, the principle of binding, he says, whatever you bind in heaven is bound on earth. Let me put it this way. When we're going through relational situations or financial ones or, I don't know, just come up with whatever it is you're struggling with right now, what I'm telling you is this. You have some keys that you can use. Did you know that you have keys to the kingdom of God? That you have, when you have difficulties, God says, I've given you complete access and all authority to come boldly into the throne room of God and bring your keys. Bring your keys. How many of you went somewhere and you forgot your keys? It's frustrating, isn't it? You know, I'm going out tonight, man. I'm going to have a good time. Where's my car keys? You now get to go nowhere until you find your keys. Jesus says, you can come boldly, but bring your keys. In other words, understand you have the authority to do what needs to be done. Some of us have to come to a place and learn what it means. Hold on. I'll get to that statement in just a minute. Let me back up. Binding. Let me put it to you this way. Binding. Binding is a good, it's a good thing because he says, how many of you, let's pray it this way when we pray binding prayers. If it means to bind, if it means to undergird, heal, hold, then you could be praying, Lord, I'm binding my mind to the mind of Christ today. What does that mean? God, I'm binding my mind. I want my mind bound. I want my mind healed. I want my mind whole. I want my mind where it gets all schizophrenic and all over the place. I want it to be brought into unity with what it is that you are doing. When you pray those prayers, that's what you are saying. And if you're not saying those prayers, but you're wanting those results, then start praying that prayer and watch what happens. Lord, I bind my mind to the mind of Christ. May I have your mind in this situation. Lord, I bind my will to your will, Lord Jesus. What did you just do when you bound your will to his will? What you did was you said, I bind my will to be healthy and whole and steady, not fragmented, to come back into alignment with your spirit. I put my will under your obligation, Lord Jesus, to do what it is that you would have me to do. Lord, I'm binding my emotions. Ooh, this is a big one. I like this one because so many of us live by how we feel. Feelings, nothing more than feelings. Remember that song? Somebody needs to beat that guy up. It has nothing to do with feelings. You do not live life by feelings. You live by faith in the Son of God. And the Son of God said, I came, bring in my keys, stuck them in your hand, use your keys. So when we bind our emotions to Christ, what we're saying is this. Lord, I'm just saying, some of us here today, our emotions are unstable right now. I didn't call you unstable. But some days my emotions are unstable. I feel like people hate me. They don't like me. They're talking bad about me. They're sticking knives in my back. I think some of you here today, if you'll take these principles, you'll have some healing in relationships with your daughters, your sons, your husbands, your wives. But you don't know my situation. Nope, I don't need to. Because when you bind it in heaven, bam, it's bound on earth. That's all you need to know. I believe some people are struggling in areas where he says, if you use these keys, you'll get what you're looking for. Now, when you pray the loosing prayers, what exactly is it that you're praying for? Well, you got to understand, we got to pray properly. You can't loose everything else and everybody else. You know, binding, loosing prayers. We always struggle with this. What in the heck is a binding prayer? And when I was always taught as a kid, when something's bound, that's not a good thing. Something's bound. Mom got out the castor oil, right? You know. That's not what he's talking about. He says, when you bind in a heavenly place that which is in agreement with God himself, it will be bound on earth. But if you try to bind something according to your selfish, soulish will, it ain't going to happen, and that's why a lot of our prayers don't get answered. Why isn't Jesus answering my prayer? Because you're making it about you. I'm not saying that you can't pray for things that you want. I'm not saying that that's wrong either. But a lot of times, I'm just telling them myself. You guys probably aren't like this, but I am. Sometimes I pray, and it sounds very pretty, very flowery, and I can really just, I can spin it and put a little spit and vinegar into it, and God still doesn't answer my prayer. And you know why he doesn't? Because he still says, you're still focused on you, Jim. You see, he says, get beyond you. Bind it in heaven, I'll bind it on earth, if it's in agreement with my will. And if you loose it, it will be loosed. Here's another thing. Some of us, and we're going to talk about this, so don't, please, I hope you make it a priority to come back so we can continue to learn this. And I hope you make it a bigger priority to start grabbing your neighbors and your friends and your enemies and everybody. Just bring them with you. Because we need to learn these important keys about our soul. He says this, if you will loose, whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. To be loosed means this. Check out these adjectives describing it. To untie. To break up. Some of us need to break up with someone or something. To destroy. And if you're here and you're a couple and you just got uncomfortable, there's a reason for that. To melt. To put off. To wreck. To crack, to sunder by separation of the parts. To shatter into minute fragments. To disrupt. To lacerate, that is a very descriptive word right there. To break forth, to burst, and to tear. Those are descriptive words, aren't they? You see, when I say something like, man, if I say these things and you start to get uncomfortable in your soul that you're supposed to break up or something. No, I'm not saying break up with your boyfriend or something. I'm saying that our souls get uncomfortable when we hear those things. Usually there's a reason they're getting uncomfortable. It's because there's something that you're trying, it's like putting the lipstick on the pig. It's still a pig. No matter how pretty it looks, you've got to address those soulish issues. And it says that when you pray a prayer that says, that which you loose in heaven is loosed on earth, it can look like this. You can start saying things like, you know what, Lord, I've been, how many of us, don't answer. How many of us have been carrying maybe a mindset that has said, man, I can't believe what they're thinking. You know, my kids just driving me bananas and all they've ever been is selfish and all they ever do is think about themselves. Don't they know what I've done for them? Or some of us can be saying, man, my parents are just jerks, you know. Don't they understand that I'm just trying to live my life and I'm just trying to be the adult that God has created me to be. You can throw God in there and it won't impress him anyway. And you'll start saying those things. These things are real and we get emotional about them and we fight over them or maybe it's a relationship that mom and dad don't like and so then there's a fight that takes place or, yeah, I'm just, there could be so many different scenarios. So if I just struck some nerves, because some people are grinning, so if I struck some nerves, I know nothing about you, okay? What's going on in your life? But I do know this. When you hit those areas in life and they become issues, it's because of what's going on in your soul. And many of us will fight and struggle because our soul will say, well, I'm not going to let that one go because I'm going to remind them till the day they die that they owe me. If you do that, you have just tied the biggest boat anchor on your soul that you could ever put. You're not going to grow. You're going to stay stuck. Yeah, well, they deserve it. Serves them right. This is not about them at this point. And God says this, if you will learn what it means to take the keys that God gives you and loose some of those things in heaven, they will be loosed here on earth. Well, how would that look? Lord, in my mind, I'm loosing my frustration and my irritation and my anger, and I'm giving it to you, Lord Jesus. I now bind, and then you go into what we talked about, okay? To the good stuff. Lord, I'm loosing in my will the fact that I want what I want when I want it. I'm loosing the fact of how stubborn I am, because some of us can be stubborn, can't we? If you didn't say yes, it's because you're being stubborn and not telling me yes. Lord, I loose that stubbornness. Lord, I loose that self-will. Lord, I loose that in heaven because I want you to loose it right here on earth so that when I relate to those people you put around me, I can do it with the love of Christ and not the anger of man. Lord, I loose those wrong emotions that are so painful because they hurt me with their words. They betrayed me. They cheated on me. They stole from me. And Lord, I'm loosing in heaven all of those feelings before an almighty God so that here on earth I can be loosed, set free, untied, broken from those chains, free to be who I am in Jesus. Are you following these keys that God has given us? So now let me ask you this. You and I have been walking around carrying some stuff that we've not been designed to carry. Why are you carrying it when you got the keys in your pocket? Why do we carry around anger and bitterness and even grief? You tell me, Pastor, I'm not supposed to grieve? No. I didn't say don't grieve. I just said don't let it become a resident in your soul. That's all I'm saying. Well, I can get angry. The Bible said I can be angry. But it said keep reading, but don't sin. Okay, fine. I'll be angry and won't sin. Okay, don't let the sun go down. In other words, deal with it. Process it. Don't let it become something that lodges in here. Let it be something that as you process that anger, you learn. How are you going to do that? By binding and loosing. I'm going to have to stop here in just a second. So I'm going to stop right at this point. I want you to write down in your outlines one of the first bullets. Our souls are very powerful. All I've done is set the stage to tell you how powerful our souls really are. And we're going to come back next week and we're going to keep learning about our unsurrendered souls. But I'll tell you what, our souls can do two things. I'll give this to you too so you can write it down if you want. I'll repeat it next week. Our soul has the power to lead, and our soul has the power to mislead. We'll start there next week, but I believe that we've just kind of set a groundwork because some of us today, just the short amount that we've talked, this is what's happened. Is God stretching you right now? You know? Is God stretching you in areas of your soul about the person that might be sitting next to you? Is God stretching you in areas of your workplace, addictions, habits, thought processes? You think you got it all figured out, or maybe you found a way for your soul to become comfortable where it's at, so that way everyone else has to change and you don't, and God's kind of calling you on the carpet today. If that's you, it's not because He doesn't love you. It's because He trusts you. You know, I really think some people here really, you've got something to let go. Letting go of something doesn't mean that you don't care. Letting go of something doesn't mean that it's not going to be dealt with the way that you would deal with it, but it means that you're going to trust God to take care of it. I can't say it any more simple than this. I think somebody somewhere in this room, and it might be more than one or two, you're hurt because of some relationship. I don't know. I don't know what it is. If you don't let that go, if you don't bind it to His will, if you don't learn what it means to lose it, you'll end up losing that relationship. If you'll learn to use the keys that God's given you, you'll gain a fresh new perspective on what that relationship can be like. But you don't like to let go, because then it's out of your control. Can I tell you this? Putting something in God's hands is going to work out much greater than keeping it in yours. He just wants to know that as you're stretched and as you look like a mangled up Stretch Armstrong, are you going to trust Him? Because even Stretch has a way of coming back where he needs to be. So can you. I've asked John to come up here today and end this way. How many of you enjoy singing some of the older songs, some of the hymns? I want to do this. I've asked him to sing a song, and I want you to just listen. I want you to, this is what we're going to do. I just want you to close your eyes. And I want, actually, just go ahead, bow your heads, close your eyes with me. And here's what we're going to ask the Lord while Pastor John sings this over us. What do you need to let go of? What do you need to let go of? Think about that for just a minute. Just pick one thing. You maybe have got right now 50 things. Pick one. What's one thing the Lord's saying? Would you give that to me? Would you let me show you that I got something better? And I've asked them to sing this song, I Surrender All. I Surrender All. He's going to sing that over us. And then in a moment, we're going to stand and we're all going to sing it together and give that to God. Pastor John, will you lead us in that, please? Maybe some of you here, the thing you need to surrender, you surrendered last night, but you fell down again. Maybe it's something that you've surrendered time after time after time after time. Would you this time not just let it be a surrender, but would you bind it to His will? I'm going to ask, would you stand with me? And we're going to sing together. We're going to be a part of this, coming before the presence of God, laying this at His feet, saying, Lord, we're not just singing a song, but we are literally surrendering to You that thing that You've placed on our heart. So Lord, help us to lay that down and not pick it up once again, but to walk in the freedom that You've called us to. Pastor? Thank You, Jesus. Father, we surrender to You today. Lord, we leave this place walking in a newness of our spirit because of what You have done in our lives. Lord, we're different than when we first showed up here. And so, Lord, I pray that in that newness, we will walk and not grow weary. That, Lord, the things that we face, we know we've got the keys, so we come boldly before Your throne. And as we lay it at Your feet, Jesus, I ask that You would empower us with a fresh newness of Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Next week we'll continue. OSL 1 through 4, see you at 2 o'clock. God bless you. You're dismissed.
shine in me, brought to light.